A morning. Today's daf in Menachos is Yud Ches. We are on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're at the top of the Amud, and we are right now in a machlokas between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim regarding the machshava that's had over pigel. Okay, as we have discussed already, pigel is a popular topic in Zvachim and Menachos here in Menachos. As we begin the third parak, opens up with more on the topic of pigel, and the Tanaim had the following debate: what if a person has a machshava and he is now having a machshava of eating something chutzis manu beyond the prescribed time, which is the very basic definition of pigel. But what he's considering eating beyond the prescribed time is something that he's not entitled to eat. So if, let's say, for example, two examples. Let's say that he is now considering eating the kemitza, the kometz that is to be burnt on the top of the mizbech. So how he's now thinking about how he's going to eat a chutzis manu. Or, let's say, the shiraim, let's say he's going to burn on the top of the mizbeach tomorrow, chutzis manu. So under those circumstances where he has a machshava, an anachila, chutzis manu, but it's an inappropriate consumer. In other words, it's the wrong consumer. So does that register as a machshava? That creates pigel, yes or no? And what did we learn in the Mishnah yesterday? That's a machlokus. Machlokus between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. Chachamim said it does not register as pigel. And the sheet of the Chachamim is very defendable. It's predicated on the fact that in order to have a machshava of eating something chutzis manu, you have to have a machshava of something in mind that you could, in theory, eat. But if it's something that you can't eat, it doesn't register as a machshava. Masha Enkin, according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if it's not something you can eat, but as long as it's something that shaykh to be consumed, even though you're not the right consumer, that would be a machshava. So what is the basis of the shita of Rabbi Eliezer? So we saw that yesterday. It's based on the Pesukim in the Torah. The Torah, when rolling out the Isser of Pigol, the Torah says, Im Heachol Yeachel. The double language of Heachol Yeachel comes to teach us, says Rabbi Eliezer, that even if there are two consumers to every carbon, there are two consumers, there's a Mizbech and there's you, and if you use either language of Achila or Akhtara, and even if you confuse who the correct consumer is, as long as there's a Machshava of an Achila, so that would be enough in order to register it as a machshava. That is that was the Gemara's explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim, on the other hand, so they'll say, look, I agree that the Torah says Heyachal Yachal with the double lashon, and I even agree that there's a drasha to be made. But the extent of the drasha, not as much as you say. The Chachamim respond back to Rabbi Eliezer, the only point of the Torah when saying Heyachal Yachal is that the verb that you use is flexible. In other words, you can say, I'm going to eat the shiraim tomorrow. You can even say, I'm going to burn the shiraim tomorrow. But in other words, I'm going to, using the language of Haktara, but describing yourself as a consumer. Or you can say that the mizbech is going to, I'm going to burn the comets on the mizbech tomorrow. Or I'm going to feed the comments on the Mizbeach tomorrow. So the only latitude that the Torah is giving us is that the verb itself, in terms of how to consume, there that's flexible. But in terms of who the consumer is, that you got to get right. Okay. And we are now on Yuzayin Amud Beis, and we're picking it up right where we left off yesterday. So, or alternatively, just alternatively, the Chachamim will say back to Rabbi Eliezer that maybe the Heachel Yeachel is just telling me how much has to be consumed, and that, of course, is a kazayis. Achila for a person is a kazayis. Achila for the mizbech is also going to be a kazayis as well. Okay.
We know that. What do we have in the pasuk?
Always means kazayis. No, right. But in other words, for the mizbech, no. The chiddush is for the mizbech, because the Torah.
Yeah, what should be different?
It should be different. Oh, right. Well, that's exactly the point. Meaning, we only know that because the Torah describes it as achila, even vis-a-vis the mizbech. Without that, I would have said that has to be the whole kemitza. Okay. Ula ola machila d'orcha mashma. And we are four lines down now on Yuzayin Amud Beis. Truth be told, I should have read this yesterday, but anyway. V'Rabbi Elazar, im kein lichtav rechmana im heachel heachel. Inami im yeachel yeachel. Rabbi Elazar will say to the Chachamim, look, if the whole point is just simply so that there's a certain flexibility in terms of how to the words you use to consume, or like you said, the flexibilities in terms, or the point of the Torah is to tell me that it's a kazayis for the person and for the mizbeach. So then the double language of either heachel, heachel, or yeachel, yeachel. My heachel, yeachel, by virtue of the fact that then not only is the Torah repeating the verb, but also conjugating it differently each time. So shamat mini tartu, that says Rabbi Eliezer, entitles me to have two drushas. One, that the language is not super significant, as long as you talk about consumption, doesn't matter what language you use. And two, even if I get the consumer wrong, meaning if I'm talking about me eating the comets or the mizbech eating the shirayim, that still registers as a machshava that would result in pigle. Amar le Rabbi Zera le Rav Asi v'i time of the Rav Lazar mishum hachi. So if we are right about the reason behind Rabbi Eliezer, so then here is the logical conclusion. Kares naim lechayev. Mm-hmm. So you should be chayev kares. Meaning, because what is Rabbi Eliezer teaching us? It's based on a drasha in the Torah that if, as long as the machshav is on consumption, and it doesn't matter the word that I use, and it doesn't even matter the consumer, as long as there is a machshava on consumption, that's enough for what? Lechora, to register pigle. And once we have a registered pigle, so then, why isn't Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah using the language of pigle? In fact, if you go back to the Mishnah and you look at the language of the Mishnah, it says Rabbi Eliezer, posel. Posel just simply means disqualify. Logical conclusion should be pigle. Answers the Gemara. The Gemara suggests, well, maybe we're right. Maybe it is actually subject to pigle. Meanwhile, I heard you say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that according to Rabbi Lazar, you're not chayv karis. It's possible, it's disqualified, but it's not subject to the karis penalty. Meaning it's not pigle. Amalei tanai hi ali, but the Rabbi Lazar ikalaman damar psula darais vikalaman damar psula darabanan. So he says, you're right, I did quote that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. However, I'm also going to inform you that not everyone is in agreement. Some are of the opinion that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's mamish pigel. As long as there's a machshava of consumption, and it does not matter the verb you use, it doesn't matter who the consumer is, even if you get the wrong consumer, some say that, some are of the opinion that Rabbi Eliezer says that it is pasul and pigel, and some say that no, that it's pasul, but only pasul mit derabanan, but not pigel mit Torah. How do I know that there are two opinions within Rabbi Eliezer? Ditanya. So we're going to learn the following brisa together. Now, admittedly, this next part's going to be a little bit tricky, because the brisa over here is going to present a machlokas, followed then by another machlokas, followed then by one Tana's viewpoint of how to view the machlokas. So admittedly, we're going to get a little bit lost in the forest right now, but the basic point that we're getting, let's just go over our objective right now. The objective of the upcoming Gemara is just simply to highlight that there are two viewpoints of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer certainly is of the opinion that if there's a machshava on a consumption of a carbon, even if you get the consumer wrong, as long as there's a machshava of a consumption of a carbon, it will result in pigle, and there are going to be two viewpoints. One is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's pigle, mamish pigle, and according to the other viewpoint, it's only pasul midrabbanan. That is the whole purpose of what we're going to be doing for the rest of the Amud, until the bottom of the Amud. Gemara then is going to deflect, and the Gemara is going to give another way to understand the Braisa. Let's see the Braisa inside. Ditanya. First case in the Braisa is where you are shechting a carbon. It's a standard carbon. And your machshava now is to drink the blood tomorrow. That's disgusting, but that's not the point. The point is that the blood obviously is going on the Mizbeach. You're not the consumer of the blood. So, disgusting aside, the entire idea over here is wrong consumer. In other words, you shouldn't be the one drinking the blood. Goes on the Mizbeach. Hashochet zevach lishtos medam lamachar. Lahaktir mi bisaro lamachar. Or let's say you're going to burn the meat. Let's assume this is not a carbon ola. This is a chatzos, an asham, a shlamim, whatever. The meat is to be eaten by either the kohanim or the owner. And meanwhile, the machshava is how the meat is going to be burned on the Mizbeach. Again, same idea. Wrong consumer. Lechol mi imur of lamachar. Third example of the brisa. You're going to eat the imurim tomorrow. Again, wrong consumer. Imurim goes up onto the Mizbeach, not you. You're not supposed to eat the Imurim. So in all these cases, kosher. So according to the Tanakhama, it's kosher. Right. Again, kosher over here just simply means carbon is unaffected. Because the machshava over here was totally the wrong machshava. In other words, you did not have the right consumer in mind. Even though you had a chutz l'zmano machshava in mind, wrong consumer. Therefore, it's not pigel. It's not even pasul midrabanan. The carbon is totally unaffected. Rabbi Eliezer posel. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says that under such a circumstance, it would be possible, would be disqualified. So here we have now our first introduction to Rabbi Eliezer and the Braisa. Continuing. Lehaniach medamo lamachar. Now, in a scenario where the machshava goes like this, I don't plan on doing anything with the blood today, but here's what I plan on doing. As he's doing one of the avodas, he's outlining his plans of doing nothing with the blood. I'm leaving the blood over tomorrow. This is what's called lehaniach. So under those circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda, posel. So in the In the Brisa, of Rabbi Yehuda, under such circumstances, says that the karma is going to be disqualified. Amar Rebbe Elazar. So along comes Rebbe Elazar. And Af Bezu, Rebbe Eliezer Posa V'Chacham Emachshirim. And Rebbe Elazar teaches us that. Not to be confused, by the way. There's two Tanaim over here in the Brisa, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Eliezer. According to Rebbe Elazar, he's of the opinion that in the case of Lahaniach, that too is a machlokus between the Tanakama and Rebbe Eliezer, where Tanakama would say that it's fine, and Rebbe Eliezer would say that it's pasul. Now, with all that stated, so there are in this Brisa a machlokus regarding having the wrong consumer in mind, a statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Lahaniach, and Rebbe Elazar's position, which is that in the case of Lahaniach, that maintains a machlokus, that still is a machlokus between the Chachamim and Rebbe Eliezer. Now, with all that information presented in front of us, the obvious question, well, I don't know about obvious, but I'll call it obvious. The obvious question, Rebbe Yehuda is coming in as like another opinion. What does that mean, another opinion? Rebbe Yehuda, Ali B'daman. Who's Rebbe Yehuda holding like? Look, if Rabbi Yehuda was operating within the position of the Chachamim, there is no way that the Chachamim would say that. Consider, says the Gemara, if according to the Chachamim, you think about eating it tomorrow, just the wrong consumer, and that's okay. So if your machshava is that we're not going to eat it at all, so for sure it should be okay. So Rabbi Yehuda is certainly not working within the position of the Chachamim. That's certainly not the case. El Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. So it must be that Rabbi Yehuda is working within the position of Rabbi Eliezer. So when Rabbi Yehuda is espousing his viewpoint, he's saying, and I agree with Rabbi Eliezer. So then, what's the next part of the Brisa? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Af Bezu Rabbi Eliezer Posav HaChachamim Machshirin. And then Rabbi Elazar says, oh, but wait one second. You know, in this case of Lahaniach, it's a machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Well, obviously. Meaning, that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda just presented. And as we just concluded, Rabbi Yehuda can only be holding like one Tana, and that's the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Elazar, Hainu Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda now are saying the same thing, but the way the Brisa is being presented, it sounds like they're not saying the same thing. There is some subtle, nuanced difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer. What's the difference? And the Gemara now, after presenting all this information, now we get to the point. Alalav karisika beinahu. Rabbi Yehuda sever laniach psula ba'amam ba'hanach karis nami mechayev. Va'asa Rabbi Elazar lememar idiv idi pasav eimbo karis. The subtle difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer must be that in the case of lahaniach, so Rabbi Yehuda says that under those circumstances, it's disqualified, but not pigol, because it's only lahaniach. But what if there is a consumption, albeit wrong consumer? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's of the opinion that Rabbi Eliezer would maintain, it's a psul daraisa, otherwise known as pigul. Masha Inkin, according to Rabbi Elazar, he says no. That even if there is a machshava of chutzas mano, but it's a wrong consumer, Rabbi Eliezer will go only as so far to say that it's psul, but it's not pigul legamre. This is now the projected approach of the Brisa, if this is correct. So now the Gemara has made its point that there are two viewpoints within Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Yehuda viewpoint, and I guess you would call it the Tanakhama's viewpoint Rabbi Yehuda's viewpoint versus Rabbi Elazar's viewpoint in terms of what is the correct understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says we don't have to go that far. In other words, that is a lot of speculation within the Brisa, and that's not necessary. And we can give a different approach to the Brisa altogether. Look, the Gemara just simply rejects this. And to Kulei Amar, the Gemara says that according to everyone, Karis Leka. There is no Karis in the case of wrong consumer. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who is more expansive in terms of what pigul is, but here, even in this case, even Rabbi Eliezer would say it's disqualified, but it's not pigul. And and what is that root of the debate in the Brisa that we just quoted is a different matter altogether. Tanakama Savar, according to the Tanakama Bahanach Pligi, that in the case of wrong consumer, so right, all the cases of I'm going to eat the blood, the Mizbeach is going to eat the Basar, I'm going to eat the Imurim, right, those are all the cases of Hanach. So in the cases of behanach pligi, in those cases, so it's a machlokes between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. However, lehaniach, but in the case where the machshava is, what am I doing with the blood? Nothing. I am leaving it over. So different hakol kosher, according to everyone, it would be kosher. That is according to the Tanakama. Along comes Rav Yehuda, we're on the topic of Yilches Amad Aleph. Along comes Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda Sevra Bahanach Pligi. So he agrees that in the case of wrong consumer, there's a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. However, Lahaniach Divrei HaKol Posel. But Rav Yehuda swings totally the other direction when it comes to Lahaniach. A machshava of Lahaniach will result in a psul according to everybody. My taima. Now why? In other words, in the case where the Cohen says, I'm going to leave over some of the blood till tomorrow, why should it be that according to everyone it's pasul? He goes on to explain, according to Rav Yehuda. My time exera mixes damato kol damo. Because what if instead of the machshava of I'm going to leave some of the blood over for tomorrow, the machshava is I'm going to leave all the blood over for tomorrow. So this is a machshava of lahaniach kol hadam. So what Rav Yehuda now is arguing is that this is a psul de araisa. On what basis? Gemara goes on to explain. V'chol dama psul d'araisa d'tanya. The Gemara quotes a braisa. Am lem Rav Yehuda iyata modem li shimi nich lamachar shapasol. So chishav la nich lamachar nami pasol. Look, if I actually left the blood over till tomorrow, we're all in agreement that's disqualified. As we've discussed time and again, that's lina. Leaving a carbon, a part of the carbon over, not the consumable part of the carbon, but the carbon that should have gone onto the mizbeach. Leaving that over till tomorrow, that's the psul of lina. So, we all agree that if I actually leave the blood over tomorrow, that's pasul. So Rav Yehuda's argument is that if I think about leaving all the blood over for tomorrow, that should also be pasul as well. So according now to Rav Yehuda, having a machshav of mitzas damo, according to everyone, is pasul because mitzas damo as gzera atu kol damo. And now that was the second opinion of the Braisa. The Azar Rebbe Lazar Lamemar. And now the third opinion in the Braisa. And that's Rabbi Elazar, and he says, no, Af Bezu Rabbi Eliezer Posef HaChacham and Machshirim. In the case of Lahaniach, that is a machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. That in the case of Lahaniach Mixas Damo, in the case of Mixas Damo, so the Chachamim would say that that's fine, carbon is unaffected, and Rabbi Eliezer says that the carbon is disqualified. In other words, what the Gemara now is presenting is that the machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer has nothing to do with whether or not the wrong consumer results in a pigel d'araisa. Right now, the Gemara is presenting that according to everyone, it will not result in pigel d'araisa. It will only be pasul. Again, pasul d'araisa d'rabanan, unclear, but it will only be pasul, probably d'rabanan. And the only machlokas that exists in the braisa is in the case of lahaniach, where there are three opinions in terms of how to understand the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer in the case of where the machshava is, I'm going to leave over the blood and not do anything with it. Okay. Now the Gemara says, is that really Rav Yehuda's position? Now that where we have Rav Yehuda now is firmly placed in the position that he's of the belief that according to all positions, if the machshava is lahaniach, it would be pasul. The Gemara says, I'd like us all to consider the following. Braisa d'tanya. Very interesting braisa coming up. I went to go clarify a doubt that I had. The word matzos over here, from the word mitsui literally means to squeeze. We talk about mitsui midos. So when we talk about mitsui midos, I'm pouring something, and if it's fermented, so it has a foam on top, and you have to let it settle in order to know exactly how much was poured. So over here, when he talks about being matzos midosai, basically I'm unclear about something, and I need to settle something that I'm not sure about. Eitzel Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, and I went to Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, who, as we're going to see in just a moment, we'll get to that in just a moment. The Amila limsos midosav, or I went to go squeeze him out. Another version of what was stated, meaning Rav Elazar ben Shemua was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, and I needed to get information from him. And so here I am now on a visit to Rav Elazar ben Shemua, and I see Yosef HaBavli sitting in front of Rav Elazar ben Shemua, and I'm overhearing a conversation between the Tana, Rav Elazar ben Shemua, and his student, Yosef HaBavli. And he loved him ad la'achas, or the other gear says is ad achas. The way Tosus explains ad achas over here is b'migilas esarim de Rabbeinu Nisim garis la ad la'achas. Okay, again, two different girsas. Perish ad ma'od. Meaning that basically there was a tremendous loving relationship between Yosef HaBavli and Rav Elazar ben Shemua. Amalo Rebbe. And so Yosef HaBavli asked Rav Elazar ben Shemua the following question. So here, obviously, the reason why the Gemara is reporting this particular narrative in front of us is because it has to do with our discussion. So the shechita of a karban with the intent of leaving some of the blood over till tomorrow. What would be the halacha? I'm a little kasher. So the response that Rav Elazar gives Yosef HaBavli is, under those circumstances, the karban's fine. Arvis, I'm a little kasher. And he kept repeating the question over and over again. In the evening, he asked him, and Rav Elazar ben Shemua says, kasher. Shachris, I'm a little kasher. Tzaraim, I'm a little kasher. So he asked him in the morning, he asked him at midday. Mincha, I'm a little kasher. He asked him in the afternoon as well, and he said, kasher. Ela Shirebi Eliezer Poso. But clearly the repetition of the question is that he was trying to get at something. And finally he got out one kernel of information. And that is that yes, the opinion is that under those circumstances, the accepted opinion is that it's kasher. There is a dissenting viewpoint. The dissenting viewpoint is the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, who says that under those circumstances it would be pasul. When Yosef HaBavli hears this, Savu Panav Shel Yosef HaBavli, his face lit up. Amarlo Yosef, kemeduma ani shelo, kivnu shmo asenu ad ata. And Rav Elazar ben Shemua says, now I don't get it. Up until now, you know, I've been giving you the right answer. You know, you kept asking me, what if the plan is to leave the blood over till tomorrow, and I kept saying that the carbon's kosher. You know, every time you ask me the question, I gave you the right answer, and I'm still giving you the right answer. All I'm doing is just giving you one detail about one Tana who disagrees. And Amarlo Rebbe, hein. And Yosef HaBavli says back to Rav Elazar ben Shemua, yeah, you're right. That's absolutely correct. The answer hasn't changed, but here's what you did for me. Elosh Rabbi Yehuda Pasul Shanali. It's only that I heard from my Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, that it's Pasul. And I heard it from him. V'chazarti al kol tamidai. I went around all other students. U'bikashti lechaver. And I looked for corroboration. Is anyone else ever hear Rabbi Yehuda say that under such a circumstance, the carbon would be pasul? V'lo matzasi. And I never found any corroboration. So I thought that I'm losing my mind. I thought my memory was going. Achshav sheshaniti li pasul. But now that you told me that there is an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer who says that it's pasul, so now hechzarti li avedasai. So now I am so much at ease now, knowing that not only did I correctly remember that my Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, said that under those circumstances, puzzle, but clearly there's corroboration. And as Rashi points out, we're describing Rebbe Yehuda over here. Rav Yehuda was the son of Eli, right? In fact, Rav Yehuda ben Eli, right? That's Stam Rav Yehuda. Whenever we see Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah, so that's Stam Rav Yehuda, that's Rav Yehuda Eli, or Rav Yehuda ben Eli. So his father was Eli. And we know that Rabbi Eli was a student of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara in Sukkah, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, that Rabbi Eli studied under Rabbi Eliezer. So for Rabbi Yehuda now to quote Rabbi Eliezer makes perfect sense in terms of a Mesorah, in terms of the Shalshalas. So we have Rabbi Yehuda being a son of Rabbi Eli, who was a student of Rabbi Eliezer. And now Yosef HaBavli says, I heard it from Rabbi Yehuda, no corroboration, but now you, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, are now quoting Rabbi Eliezer, saying that's pasul. I got it. In other words, and he follows this Mesorah up, and it's perfect. Zalgoin of Damasha, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua now realizes how happy he just made Yosef HaBavli by giving him one kernel of information. And again, lahalacha, it's not going to change anything. But how much he loved his Rebbe, how much he loved the learning. So, Amar Shrechem Tamid HaChachamim Shedivrei Torah Chavim Alechem Yoser. How fortunate are you, Tamid HaChachamim, that you love every learning that you did. And Kara Alav HaMikra HaZeh, and he quoted the Pasuk in Tehillim. Ma Hafti Torah Secha Kol Yom Yislichasi. So, okay, good. Beautiful story. Heartwarming story. What do we got from this story? We got now First of all, we got a small window into the Mesorah and the narratives of the Talmid Chachamim. But what we get from this is that in the scenario of, let's fit it now back into our Gemara, into our context, in the scenario where the Machshava is Lehaniach, so under those circumstances, so Yosef HaBavli was told over by his Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, that Rebbe Eliezer under those circumstances is pasul. Good. Now, ha mipnei she Rebbe Yehuda b'no she Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Elai tamid she Rebbe Eliezer. And now the Gemara itself gives us the shalshalas. Rebbe Yehuda was the son of Rebbe Elai. Rebbe Elai tamid she Rebbe Eliezer. Good. Lefichach shanalcha mishas Rebbe Eliezer. And that's why when Rebbe Yehuda taught you, he taught you that which Rebbe Eliezer taught him. Not directly, but through Masorah. Now, Isal Kadadcha, all this now brings us to one point that the Gemara is going to be transfixed on, which is Isal Kadadcha Divrei HaKol Pasul. Now remember, in the way that the Gemara presented it, according to Rebbe Yehuda, right, you can go to the top of the Amud, where the Gemara, where if you look at the very top line of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Rebbe Yehuda Savar, Bahanach Pligi, in the cases where wrong consumer, that's a machlokus between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim. But lehaniach, if the kavana was to leave some of the blood, divrei hakol pasul, according to everyone, it would be pasul. That's Rebbe Yehuda's version. Now the Gemara says, now let's think this through. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, in the case of lehaniach, it's according to everybody would be pasul. In this story that we just learned, in the narrative that we just went through, so the only thing that we got is that Rebbe Yehuda got his teaching from Rebbe Eliezer, but it's only the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer. It's not according to everybody. And that's what the Gemara is being transfixed on, meaning that very subtle point. If Rebbe Yehuda is really of the opinion that according to everybody it's pasul, asne my harzarti li avedasi, iuplutu kamerle. What is Yosef HaBavli getting so excited about? Meaning he's saying, oh, you brought it back to me. Brought what back to him? Meaning in our understanding of Rav Yehuda, everybody holds that it's pasul. And the only thing that Rav Elazar ben Shemua reported is that Rav Yehuda held it was pasul. Rabbi Eliezer held it was pasul. But not that everyone agrees. Elamai kasher, Rabbi Elazar pasul. So how are you going to say it now? That it's kasher and Rabbi Elazar says pasul, posul asneye. So in other words, what he should have taught him is that it's disqualified. So the Gemara says, but then basically what comes out is that according to everybody, it's a machlokis, and he knew that already from the beginning. So the Gemara says that no. The truth of the matter is that when Yosef HaBavli got the Masorah from his Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, who ultimately got the Masorah from Rebbe Eliezer, the way he received the Masorah is that in a case of Lahaniach, everybody would hold that's pasul. And so why is he getting so excited? When the only thing that Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua taught him was that, hey, according to Rebbe Eliezer, it's pasul, which means that it's only one opinion. So, umay hechzarti le'avedasi, ta'adalei mi'a shum pasulus ba'olam. He got excited. Because, in other words, up until now, Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua kept repeating to him, under those circumstances, kasher. And nobody argues. Kasher. And nobody argues. And it made Yosef HaBavli despondent. Because he had it from his Rebbe. Now, the truth of the matter is, as the Gemara just elaborated, he had got it from his Rebbe that according to everybody, it's pasul. But at least now he hears for the first time that somebody says it's pasul. Okay, so the Gemara says, Echzati le'avedasi. Even though that's not exactly how he heard it, but at least somebody said it was pasul. Okay, and not just anybody, by the way, but Rebbe Eliezer, who, and that's where Rebbe Yehuda must have gotten it from. Okay.
Not everybody holds that Haniach is Nina?
No, the machshava. This is not the actual leaving over. This is a machshava of leaving it over. So
everybody's agreeing.
Everybody's agreeing. No, everyone's not agreeing. In other words, what the Gemara ended off saying is that according to Rabbi Yehuda it's pasul, according to Rabbi Eliezer it's pasul. We have it as one version that according to Rabbi Yehuda everyone is in agreement to that, but obviously the Tanaim don't subscribe to that. But at least that's one version of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the sugya. So where do we stand right now? So that was the first sugya of the third parak of Menachos. In a case where you have the wrong consumer in mind, meaning you're thinking about eating the kometz, or the machshava is how the mizbeach, you're going to put the shiraim on the mizbeach. So under those circumstances, we know for sure that the chacham says it's kasher. We know for sure that Rabbi Elazar says it's pasul. Perhaps Rabbi Elazar will go so far to say that it's pegel. The Gemara entertained that viewpoint. The Gemara seems to not have accepted that viewpoint, but again, it's really a discussion of what is shitas Rabbi Eliezer, and that's not a shita that is lahalacha. The shita which is lahalacha is the shita of the chachamim. And under such circumstances where you have the wrong consumer in mind, so the carbon would be kasher. We're on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We are now starting the next sugya. Lo yatsak, lo balal, v'lo patat, v'lo malach, v'lo hiniv, v'lo higish, o shepitzen and pitzen merubos, v'lo mashchan kshera. So the Mishnah here is giving us a long list of things where you should be doing them. They're part of the mitzvah of a mincha. But if you don't do them, b'di'evit, it would be kasher. Okay, let's go through the list and let's attack each one of them one by one. So again, the only reason why I read the entire Mishnah is I just wanted to give us the picture of all these fall under the category of should have been done, but not a deal breaker. They're not essential to a mincha. So let's go one by one. Number one, yitzika. Yitzika is the pouring of the oil. Now, Rashi over here points out that this is yitzika achrona, this is the second pouring of the oil. Meaning, in a standard mincha, oil is first poured into the bowl, number one. So in other words, on the bottom of the bowl, you have a little bit of the oil. Then you put flour in. Then you mix it together. That's belila. Then you put flour in. Then you put more oil on top. Then you mix it together. And then, under certain circumstances, oil gets poured in again. That is yitzika achrona. Rashi, hainu yitzika achrona debetchila nosein shemen bekli. First you put in oil. Ve'acharkach solas. Ubolal. And then you put in the flour and then you mix it together. Ve'choze ve'yotzik shemen. And then afterwards you pour oil on top of that. Ve'achim mefarsh bepeke elamenachos, nikmatzos. And more details of that coming up later in the Masechta. So, we're talking about where you didn't put in the oil at the very end. And the Gemara is going to make this point very clear. When we get to the Gemara, we'll be even clearer about that. Lo balal, you didn't mix it together. In other words, Rashi says, you put the entire log of oil into it. Now, you have to put the entire log of oil into it, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. For the log of oil, if you go over or under the log, so that's either chaser or it's yeser, and we learned that that's disqualified. So you poured the entire oil in, you just didn't mix it together. So that is, again, not essential. It's important, it's a mitzvah, but it's not essential. Lo patat, you didn't break it into pieces. Rashi quotes the pasuk, shenemar patoto topitim, ve'af agav de beminchas machvas udichsiv. Now, that pasuk that Rashi is quoting, is regarding the mincha of machvas. That's the griddle. Who adin l'chol ha-menachos is true by all minchas and nefos, tchila, that are first baked, kagon, machvas, marcheshes, mafeh. The menachos of the machva and the marcheshes, that's the deep pan, and the mafeh, that's the oven baked. Shekulam baos eser, mitzvah leposesan kulan. Now, after they're baked, they're broken into pieces. V'acharkach komitz, and afterwards you do the kemitza. As the Gemara already earlier identified, this is a difficult act of doing kemitza for something that's already baked. V'zeh im lo patat ela kedei kemitza kasher kedarmina be'ela menachos. Once again, Rashi's quoting a Gemara that we're going to do later in the Masechta. So even though breaking it into pieces after you baked it is a mitzvah, it's not essential. Putting salt on, Rashi doesn't comment, but putting salt on, we know that every time before a carbon goes up onto the mizbech, it's going to be salted. Salting is a mitzvah, but it's not essential. Hanafa, the waving of a mincha. Various menachos get waved. And again, it's a mitzvah, but it's not essential. Hagasha, even before the kemitzah is taken off, so the mincha is brought to the southwest corner of the mizbech, the bowl making contact with the southwest corner of the mizbech. It's a mitzvah, it's not essential. Oh, pasasan pitim merubos, v'lomashchan kshera. You broke it up. Rashi over here says, la'achrafiyasam posasam v'komets k'nim afarish be'elam menachos, u'pasasam merubos gedolos yoser midinam ha'mefurish be'elam menachos nekmatzos. Mincha Yisrael kofal echa l'shnaim v'shnaim l'dalin. We're going to learn later on exactly how many pieces it's to be broken up on. Rashi quotes the Gemara later on. Fold it over a second time. So it is generally broken up into four pieces. And if you break it up into pieces that are larger than that, right now that's the pshat we're going to say. So again, that you didn't do it correctly, but it's not essential. The last thing Rashi comments on is on the Meshicha. Right, that's the last point of the Mishnah. Rashi writes, Osamatunos Meshicha Kedechliver Kiki Matzos Meshuchin Bashamin. There are certain menachos which, after they're baked, another layer of oil is kind of egged on top of it. I use egg over here as a verb, not as a noun. Okay, so the list of things in the Mishnah over here in a Kometz Rabbah, second Mishnah in the Masech, in the Perek, that detail those things which are important, which are certainly a mitzvah, but are not essential. Milo Yatzak, the Gemara over here, commenting on the Yitzika. Ilei Milo Yatzak Klal, are we talking about not putting oil in at all? Can't be. Ikuva Kasav Ba. Oil, putting oil in is absolutely essential. Let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at that last Rashi in the Amud. Ikuva Ksiv Ba Dahan Namar Yitzikos Bem Nichas Asolas. So it says Yitzika regarding the flower of Mincha. Vinishas Bem Minchas Machvas, repeated in the Machvas Mincha. Varmin Lakaman Kol Makum Sheichzu Vishana Akasov. B'toros mincha eino el alakiv. Once you have repetition tells us that it's essential. Inami, Rashi also alternatively points out, dechsiv v'yitzak tala hashemen, mincha hi. It is a mincha, meaning the very definition of a mincha is that oil is getting poured into it. Hi mincha v'lo shalo yitzak mincha, dechol hi ikuva. Anytime you see the word hi, it's li ikuva. V'af agav darshin alei be'el menachos, amuti minchas mafa, mi'yitziko sham inanami, ikuva mine. Now there's another point that Gemara later on extracts from the word he, but Rashi says, but still, it could also tell us what we're learning right now, and that is that it's an essential avoda. So Rashi over here offers a couple of explanations of how we know oil is essential. In any event, it's essential. So it can't be that the word, when the Mishnah here introduces us to things that are important but not essential, it can't be we forgot the oil altogether. Can't be. So the Gemara says, Ela lo yatzak kohen elazar. So it must be that when the Mishnah over here is describing Yitzika, it means that it was not done by a Kohen, but it was rather done by a non-Kohen. So the Gemara says, Lo balal nami, lo balal Kohen Elazar. So the Gemara says, okay, but then if that's the way you're understanding the Mishnah, then you have to be consistent. The next case of the Mishnah, Belila, must be the same thing, right? Where you didn't do, the Kohen didn't do the Belila, but a non-Kohen did the Belila. Sounds like if Belila was not done at all, so then it would be possible. But the Gemara says, but we know that's not true. Va'atanan. We learned in a Mishnah. We're going to learn in a Mishnah. It comes up much later in the Masech, in the Masechta. Shishim Nivlalim, Shishim Ve'echad Ein Nivlalim. When talking about what ratio between flour and oil can create a mixture, a blended mixture, so the Chachamim tested, and they came out to a ratio of 60 to 1. I know 60 to 1 is like a popular ratio that finds itself, that lends itself throughout all of Shas. In terms of time, in terms of taste. But over here, we're not talking about taste. We're just simply talking about the ratio necessary so that there would be a good blending of oil and flour. Maximum amount of flour is 60 esronim that gets blended with one log of oil. 61 already is too much. Vehavinamba. And the Gemara now notes, ki einam nivlala mayhavi, even if I don't mix it together. So what? Vatnan lo balok shera. We're going to learn together that if belila is not done, it's going to be kasher. Va'amar rev zera. Kol aray la bila in bila ma'akefes bo, v'chol she'en aray la bila bila ma'akefes bo. If you don't have to mix it, so why are we so hung up on the ratio of 60 to 1? I don't have to mix it. And Rebbe Zera teaches us that you don't have to mix it, but at least it has to have the potential. Kol ha'ra'uy la bila. As long as it's mixable, so then you have a good mincha. But if it's in a position where I can't even mix it together, there is so much flour that the oil is not going to blend in, so then it's not going to be good. So there is no requirement to actually mix the two together, as long as there's a potential to mix. Now, we'll come back to Rabbi Zera in just a moment, but in the meantime, however, what we have over here is a clear statement of the Gemara that mixing is not essential, meaning altogether it doesn't have to be mixed. So, how could it be that when we talked about the pouring of the oil, now, we know oil has to get poured into a mincha. We know that. So when the Mishnah here is talking about that it's not essential, what's not essential? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what's not essential, meaning it was poured in by a non-Kohen. The Gemara says, okay, but then consistently we have to explain that the Belila is the same thing where it's not mixed by a non-Kohen. But it sounds like it has to be mixed altogether, and that's not true. That doesn't have to even get mixed at all. So the Gemara says, So v'amr is there kol aray labila and bila makavas bo v'choshem aray labila bila makavas bo mid iria hakadisa v'hakadisa lo yatzak kohen elazar lo bala klal. And the Gemara says very simply that your assumption that we have to be consistent in every one of the cases in the Mishnah, it's not true. We don't have to be consistent. Meaning we treat each halacha based on the properties of that particular halacha. Regarding oil, we know oil has to be added to a mincha. That's essential. So when the Mishnah is talking about a non-essential factor, what's non-essential regarding oil? It was poured in by non-Kohen. That's not, meaning it should be poured in by a Kohen, but if it was poured in by non-Kohen, okay, that's fine. And then the next part of the Mishnah, when talking about Belila and the non-essential nature of Belila, so that's different. Different halacha, different properties, that's different. What is not essential by Belila, what's not essential is, you don't have to mix it at all. Meaning as long as there is a potential of it being mixed, that's good enough, li'ikuva. Obviously, le'mitzvah, you should mix it together. There is a mitzvah of Belila, but it's not li'ikuva. Okay, interesting question, by the way, Tosfos over here deals with, second Tosfos on the Amud, and that is, how did the Gemara know that when it comes to oil and flour of a mincha, it only needs ra'u libila, it only needs the potential of getting mixed together? How do we know that it's not essential? Meaning the Gemara doesn't cite a source. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Zera, and you'll note on the side of the Gemara how many times Rabbi Zera gets quoted throughout Shas. It is an often repeated statement. It has it has ramifications in other areas in halacha. Just a basic question. How do we know this? So if you take a look at Tosfos, so Tosfos theorizes in terms of how we know, how the Gemara arrives at this rule. V'yesh lamar, I'm going to skip a little bit in that second Tosfos, right? I'll start from the beginning. So, right, Tosfos asks the question really simply. How does the Gemara know? Lema lo bala kohen elazar, kama b'lo yatzak. V'shema kimle deloksiva ikuva bibelila. So, okay. In other words, Tosfos suggests, first he theorizes that maybe the just Gemara had a Misora, had some sort of Misora that when it comes to Belila, it doesn't have to actually get mixed. The Imtomer va'atanaba kra diksiva Belila b'michas machvas, umar cheshes umafetanor, uvenisim, treisar zimne. So, and meanwhile, the mitzvah of Belila keeps getting repeated again and again throughout the Torah. And Tosfos notes the number of times it gets repeated in the Torah. And you're telling me that it's not essential? It's a little bit strange. V'yesh lamar d'lo mishtameit kra d'lichtav v'shum duchte u'balalta b'shemen b'lashon sivoy. V'chol she'enu ray labila bila ma'akefes bo. So what Tosfos now suggests is that whenever the Torah presents Belila in, you'll note, it never says it as a command, as an instruction. It's almost like casually the Torah saying, oh, and they get mixed together. But in other words, it's never said as an instruction. So now let's go in the other direction. So now that we know that there's no mitzvah to do belila, so then how does the Gemara know that at least you need the potential? Good. So once we establish that it's not a mitzvah, so how did Rabbi Zera arrive at his rule? V'yeshlamer svara ba'amahu kaven tekazer rechmana bila dinibay lechol apachos roi labila. So here Tosfos now straddles the middle, and that is, look, you're right, the Torah never gives that as an instruction, but the Torah keeps describing a mincha as something that gets mixed together. So we're not going to go so far as to say that it's an absolute requirement that I have to take the flour and oil and mix them together. But by virtue of the fact that the Torah keeps repeating again and again, and it's mixed, so as if to say that at least there has to be the potential to get to that point in time. Okay, So Tosfos
should be the reverse, should be the requirement, because it's so obvious that Hashem wants it this way.
Okay, we know, right. So here's how Tosfos operates. We know the conclusion. The conclusion is, as the Gemara just laid out, that it doesn't have to get mixed. And it's just a question now how to arrive at that conclusion. And that's why Tosfos is struggling. He's grappling with this idea of how do we get here in this middle ground of it's not required, but at least I need the potential. So Tosfos formulates this idea that because the Torah keeps describing it as getting mixed together without actually giving instruction, that brings us to this middle point of it. On one hand, you should mix it together, and you should at least have the potential where you can mix it together, but you don't actually, it's not an essential component of a mincha. Okay, very interesting. Okay, we'll stop over here at the two dots. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.